Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. When you have a purpose in life, you do things on purpose. What are some of the careers that you've had or that you have right now? Just kind of shout them out.
Farming.
Baker, administrative assistant. Okay. When you knew you wanted to be a farmer, what did you have to do? Did you just wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to be a farmer, let me go out and do it? What'd you do? You worked for one. So you had a purpose of working for one to learn to become one. I forgot the baker.
Baking.
So you just woke up one day and started baking, right?
Banking.
Gotta love the mask. So in banking, what was your position?
In management.
So you woke up one day and you said, I want to be in management and banking. And they just put you there, right? Is that right?
I didn't hear that.
You wanted to be management and banking, so you woke up one day and said, hey, I want that, and they put you there. Okay. You worked your way up. You did it purposely, right? What about administrative assistant? Yeah. But your goal was administrative assistant, right?
Yeah.
Or somewhere in there. But you had a purpose and you had a goal. Let me tell you a short story. My grandfather on my mom's side, being Catholic, they were a Catholic family. My grandfather went, I think after three or four kids, went to the priest and said, hey, I need to do something because she keeps having kids and we can't afford it. So the priest told her, get another job. So he did, but then he also went back to school for accounting, went to night school, and worked his way up through Ford Motor Company and another company. But the whole thing was he had a goal like you guys did and attained it to support his family of 10 kids at the end. Yeah, small family. But when we do things on purpose, we do it for a purpose. And Jesus did the same thing. The very same thing. Think about this. Let me back up a little bit. What's the purpose in your life? Or what's your purpose? Keep that in there. If you're like me, by the end, you're going to forget it. So it's all right. Look what happened in the passage. Okay, Jesus is on the way to Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do people say I am? He gets answers like John the Baptist, come back from the dead. One says Elijah. One says another prophet. And then he turns it and says, who do you say I am? And then Peter speaks up, you are the Christ. Wonderful answer, great answer. But he's got the wrong idea, Peter does. Peter's got the wrong idea. Because in Peter's mind, he's thinking, Jesus is going to conquer Rome. Jesus is going to straighten out those Pharisees and everybody. Jesus is going to put them up a little higher so people can admire them for their position. Peter's definitely got it wrong. Definitely. Think about Rome being conquered. You know, I mean, that's what they were thinking back then. That's what the disciples were thinking. And they couldn't be farther from the truth. That was not the purpose of what Jesus did. Even today, we think that sometimes. It's not Rome, but the government. But that's not the type of Jesus that he had to be, was to conquer the government, to overthrow it. Peter had the incorrect, false understanding of what Jesus Christ would do and what purpose he has. So he says, the Son of Man must, and the word must, this is in verse 31, the must in Greek is, it is necessary. He must suffer, he must be killed. So Jesus has this purpose in life, to suffer, to be killed, to be rejected. Now the question is why? Why did he have to do this? First of all, look in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, that's the prophecy. Describes the Christ as one who will be despised and rejected. He was esteemed not. Not of high regard. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. With his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed and afflicted. And the Lord laid our iniquity on him. The Old Testament spoke of it, and so it must happen in Jesus for him to be the Christ. The disciples didn't understand that. They didn't get it. The second reason why this must happen is because God has given him a certain mission. He has to live up to his name. His name is Jesus. The one who saves. God has given this purpose, this mission, this task to Jesus. He is to save his people, to forgive them, to reconcile them to God. To reconcile them to God. But why must Jesus be rejected? Why must he be killed? Why must he suffer? Because he has this purpose in life. He has to reconcile us to God. Forgive us and give us salvation. Otherwise, we have no hope. Now, don't think that the things that happened to him were because the Romans were in control. Sure, they had the political power, and they were in charge of the crucifixion, but they weren't the ones in control. As for the Jewish leaders, the scribe, the Pharisees, and the chief priests, they weren't in control either, even though they ran the trial. Even Peter, when he tries to stop Jesus by saying, this will never happen to you. He's not in control either. Peter likes to think he is. Jesus is the one with the power. Jesus is the one doing everything on purpose. Just before the incident, Jesus healed a blind man, made a deaf man hear. Jesus fed thousands of people with fish and bread. He cast out demons from a young girl. Right after this text, Jesus is going up to a mountain to be transfigured with all his power and glory on display, dazzling white light for Peter, James, and John to see. Oh, and by the way, they got it wrong there too. But Jesus didn't. Later, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night he was betrayed, the mob comes to arrest him. And what does Peter do? Off with his ear. Peter cuts off the soldier's ear. And you know what Jesus did. What did he do? He healed it. And here's the important part. Stop, Jesus says. Don't you realize I can call down a dozen legions of angels to protect me? Jesus allows himself to be arrested. Allows himself to be arrested. He is going to be crucified on purpose. Crucified on purpose. When he's with the Sanhedrin, those religious leaders, they ask him a question. Are you the Christ, the Son of God? Remember what he said before? This is who you say I am. Well, what does he say this time? Are you the Christ, the Son of God? And Jesus says, I am. I am is the name of God himself in the Old Testament. So when Jesus claims that name, he has forced their hand. He is guilty of blasphemy in their eyes. They will condemn him to death. But it's not on their timing. It's on God's timing and God's choice. Jesus could have stopped the arrest, his suffering, his trial, his execution at any time he wanted to. He was the one in control. Yet he had a purpose. Everything he did was on purpose. He did all this for you and for me, to forgive us, to save us, to make us brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, having heard Jesus' purpose, what he did on purpose, I'll go back to the question. What is your purpose in life? Sure, you can have a number of them. But let's boil it down to one. Let's boil it down to one. I had a cute little story about an ad council, but I'm not going to go there. Some other kind of cute examples. But you know, we live in a world that is suffering and struggling, and we can do things on purpose. Not that it's going to save us, but we do it because of who we are. Take up your cross and follow him. What does that mean to you? I mean, some, they're literally going to carry a cross around. You've seen them around. I think one of them got arrested. But what is it to take up your cross and follow him? Do I have to do some grandiose activity? Do I have to give all my money to the poor to take up my cross and follow Jesus? What do I have to do? I would say it depends on what God is asking of you. Maybe it's giving of your time. Maybe it's giving of your money. Maybe it's of your time to help others. Maybe it's taking a portion of your income to help out someone in need. Maybe it's putting yourself out you know that neighbor? The neighbor no one likes. The neighbor that's like a pain in the butt. He's always complaining. Come on, everybody's had one of those. Maybe it's trying to break the ice and just talk to them and get to know them. I had a neighbor like that. And I got to know him. And I was actually surprised. He wasn't a bad guy. Wasn't a bad guy. He just doesn't like my trees. You know, but not bad. Once you kind of break that ice sometimes, once you put yourself out, because then God gives you the opportunity to talk about Jesus. You see, my neighbor's not a Christian. I've got a couple neighbors like that. And it's God gives us the opportunity to talk to them, to tell them about Christ. But what is it to carry your cross and follow Jesus? It's to give up. You know, I can't do it on my own. Give everything to Jesus and trust him. It's trusting him through this pandemic. It's trusting him through your lives when you lose loved ones. It's not that we're not sad. It's not that we don't suffer. But we lay everything at the feet of Jesus and trust him. Try it once. Take up your cross and maybe it's give up that little $3 cup of coffee once a week. Give the $3 to who knows where. So small things of taking up our cross, that we do things on purpose, but we do it purposely to help others. Just like Christ did to help us. To save us. Because here's the thing. Because of what he did, just by our faith in him, we are saved. Period. Period. Do you believe that? Just by that. But do stuff purposely. On purpose, showing the world who we are. That is the purpose for our life in following Christ. And we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. Why? Because Jesus had a purpose. On purpose, he suffered. It was necessary for him to die. He had to be killed and then rise again. And he did this on purpose for you and me. That we all would have life. And he gives us clear purpose in our lives as we live each day. Amen.